ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరి ఓం. సదాశివసమారంభాం శంకరాచార్య మధ్యమాం అస్మదాచార్య పర్యంతాం వందే గురు పరంపరాం సద్గురు చరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. బ్రహ్మసూత్రాస్ చాప్టర్ 2 అవిరోధ అధ్యాయ సెకండ్ పాద ఫస్ట్ అధికరణం రచనా అనుపపత్తి అధికరణం. రచనా అనుపపత్తేశ్చ న అనుమానం ప్రవృత్తేశ్చ పయోంబవత్ చేత్ తత్రాపి వ్యతిరేక అనవస్థితే చ అనపేక్షత్వాత్ అన్యత్ర భావాచ్చ న తృణాధివత్ అప్యుపగమే అర్థభావాత్ అర్థాభావాత్ పురుషాశ్మవత్ ఇతి చేత్ తథాపి అంగిత్వ అనుపపత్తేశ్చ అన్యతా అనుమితౌ చ న్యశక్తి వియోగాత్ విప్రతిషేధాత్ చ అసమంజసం. మహద్దీర్ఘాధికరణం. మహద్దీర్ఘవత్వా హ్రస్వ పరిమండలాభ్యాం పరమాణు జగత్ అకారణత్వ అధికరణం. ఉభయతా అపి న కర్మ అతః తత్ అభావః సమవాయ అభ్యుపగమాచ్చ సామ్యాత్ అనవస్థితే నిత్యమేవ చ భావాత్. వి హావ్ బీన్ సీయింగ్ ది 14th సూత్ర ఆఫ్ ది సెకండ్ పాద ఆఫ్ సెకండ్ చాప్టర్ అండ్ 185th బ్రహ్మసూత్ర. అండ్ ఇన్ ద 12th సూత్ర వి సా ఇన్ ద లాస్ట్ క్లాస్, నేమ్లీ ఉభయత అపి న కర్మ అతః తత్ అభావః. There we said there cannot be an intelligent, purposeful, guided combination of paramanus, atoms. It is not possible because they are all inert in nature. Therefore, some intelligent principle has to stimulate to produce the motion. And we also said that paramanu cannot do that because it is inert. Atma, same problem. Adrishtam is Punya Papa, again same problem. So what about Ishvara? Unfortunately, Nyaya Vaisheshikas do not have Ishvara. And there also there are debates whether they accepted Ishvara or not. If yes, it would solve the problem. But it seems some people, they accepted Ishvara later. But they are Nirishvara generally. Therefore, the question is, how will the motion of atoms come? That threshold, that situation, producing the first motion, the breaking the moment of inertia. In science, an object will remain in a state of rest or uniform motion unless it is compelled to change by an external force. It is required. Similarly, what will break the moment of inertia? Since Nyaya Vaisheshikas, they do not have any intelligent being, he will have to say, what he has to say? He has to say, motion is the swabhava of atom. External agent is required for an incidental property only, and there is no need for an intrinsic property. Because intrinsic property is defined as what? Which doesn't depend on any external agent. Therefore, suppose they claim that paramanus have got motion inherently, then Ishvara is not required. It will be okay. But Vyasacharya says, if you say motion is inherent nature of paramanu, then paramanus will be in eternal motion. Therefore, they will eternally combine and they will eternally have creation. Then you cannot accept the concept of pralaya avastha at all, where creation is dismantled or dissolved. That means all paramanus that have joined will get separated and will remain in paramanu form without any combination. Now, how will you explain pralaya avastha where paramanus remain static without any combination? You can never explain that. You have to tell eternally paramanus are in movement and therefore eternally creation is there. Therefore, if motion is inherent, pralaya cannot be explained. On the other hand, if you say motionlessness is inherent quality, then Srishti cannot be explained. Because all paramanus will remain without becoming molecules. Therefore, Paramanus should become intelligently molecules, and molecules should intelligently get into Paramanu form. This integration and disintegration is an intelligent and temporary phenomenon. Why we call it temporary? At the time of Srishti, Pralayam is not there. And at the time of Pralayam, Srishti is not there. It is an intelligently planned phenomenon in creation. And it has to be explained. One requires a Lord who integrates and causes disintegration also. This you cannot explain. Why? The sutra, Nityameva cha Bhavat. This is the general analysis of sutra. Now let us see the word analysis. First I will give the running meaning. Cha means moreover. And Nityameva Bhavat. Because of the Nityam, because of the permanent existence of the essential nature of atoms, your theory of creation is untenable. That is not told in the sutra, we have to supply. Because of the permanent existence alone is there, of the essential nature of atoms, your theory of creation is untenable. That we will supply. Now we'll see the significance of the words. Eva. Eva is for emphasis. And cha is conjunction with the previous sutra. Nitya means permanently. And bhavat means the existence of the essential nature to be understood. Therefore, because of the permanent existence of essential nature, and why essential nature permanently existent? Because what permanently exists only is called essential nature. That is the definition. And what is the essential nature kept in mind? If you say motion is essential nature, there will be eternal creation, never pralayam. Or if you say motionlessness is eternal nature, there will be eternal pralayam and no srishti. Therefore, either way, you cannot explain either srishti or layam. And the only way out is what? You have to say that both of them are not essential nature. There will be motion coming at the time of srishti and separation coming at the time of pralayam. And once you say it is an incidental feature coming, then I will ask what question to you? Who brings about this incidental nature of motion in the Paramanu at the appropriate time, depending on all the karmas of the jivas? Shankaracharya writes comments for this Janmadhyasya Adhikaranam of the first chapter of Brahma Sutra. I read it actually during our discussion of the first chapter. Asya Jagataha Namarupabhyam Vyakrutasya Aneka Kartru Bhoktru Samyuktasya Prati Niyada Desha Kala Nimitta Kriyafala Ashrayasya Manasapya Chintya Rachana Rupasya Janmastiti Bhanga Yataha Sarvajnyaha Sarvashaktehe Karanad Bhavati Tad Brahma. This is what Acharya wrote. If such a complex creation in which so many people, karma, they are all involved, that should be tallied at the appropriate time. It requires an intelligent principle. Therefore, you cannot explain that. So what do you need to do? Better join our party. Let us go to the next sutra. Rupadimatvacha viparyayaha darshanat. 15th sutra, 186th running Brahma Sutra. First, let us do the general analysis. In this sutra, Vyasacharya points out that the Vaisheshikas cannot explain the eternity of Paramanu. We went through all these properties in the last class, eternity and all. There are many logical problems. Now, let us ask the question, what is the nature of Paramanu? And he says, Paramanu is eternal and it is the ultimate cause of everything. And then they also say, Paramanu is partless, niravayavam. Therefore, mula karanam, nityam, niravayavam. And Paramanu has properties depending upon the nature of the Paramanu. We'll explain it actually. If it is the Paramanu of Prithivi Paramanu, it has, what are the properties? It has Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, Gandha, all five properties. If it is Jala Paramanu, water, it has four properties only. Similarly, Agni Paramanu, three properties. Vayu Paramanu, two properties. So out of the five elements, 4 exists in the form of Paramanu during Pralayam. And of course, we will not be able to see it. Paramanu is apratyaksham. We also saw all that thing earlier. Thereafter, Paramanus form dyads, dyad molecules. Prithivi Paramanus will join with what? Prithivi Paramanu only to form Prithivi dyad, Prithivi triad and all that. We have to be careful. Prithivi Paramanu will not join Jala Paramanu. And ultimately, a fully visible Prithivi will be formed. Earth will be formed. In fact, they say visibility starts from triad only. Minute though it is also, atom is invisible, dyad molecule is also invisible, and Prithivi Paramanu has got the pancha gunas also, all the 5 gunas that I just said. Shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandha. And when Prithivi Paramanu is joined to form a dyad molecule, it will also have the 5 gunas. Similarly, a triad molecule will have the same gunas. Based on what law? This law also we saw earlier. Karana gunaham, karyem, samana jatiyam, gunantaram, utpadayati. That is the law. Therefore, minute atom, MA, when it produces small short dyads, SSAs, molecules, that will produce the pancha gunas in the dyad also. Similarly, the pancha gunas of the dyad will produce the pancha gunas of the triad molecule. And the gunas will be there throughout the creation. Therefore, gunas are there in Paramanu, in the dyad molecule, triad molecule, and in the full Prithivi also. Similarly, Jala Paramanu will have 4 gunas. Then also dyad, triad and all that. Now, all these characteristics of Paramanus, how do you come to know? What is the Pramana for Paramanu? That is again a basic law throughout our philosophical studies, which requires whatever you say, there must be a pramanam or evidence. That is why our philosophical system begins with what? What are the sources of knowledge? That is the first question. Some systems accept a single pramanam. That is the Charvakas. What do you say? Pratyaksha pramanam only. And then others accept 2 pramanas, some 3-4 pramanas, even up to 10 pramanas. Systems are all there. Charvakas recognize only 1 pramana, namely Pratyaksha Pramana. Vaisheshikas, Jainas, Buddhists, they have 2, Pratyaksha Pramanam and Anumana Pramanam. Sankhya, Yoga system, they have 3, Pratyaksha, Anumana and Shabda. And the Nayayikas, they have 4, Pratyaksha, Anumana, Shabda and Upamana. And some Mimamsakas, that is actually Prabhakara Matam, Prabhakara Acharya, their followers. They recognized 5 pramanas, Pratyaksha Pramana, Anumana Pramana, Upamana, Shabda, and Arthapatti, postulation. And another group of Mimamsakas, following Kumarila Bhatta, was another great Mimamsaka. And the Vedantins of the Shankara, Advaita Vedantas, they have 6 pramanas, Pratyaksha Pramana, Anumana Pramana, Shabda, Upamana, Arthapatti, and Anupalabdhi. And the Puranas, Pauranikas, they have 8 Pramanas. Pratyaksha, Anumana, Shabda, Upamana, Arthapatti, Anupalabdhi, and Aitihya, and Sambhava. These are all various Pramanas for them. And the Tarkikas, they have 9 Pramanas. Pratyaksha Pramana, Anumana Pramana, Shabda, Upamana, Arthapatti, Anupalabdhi, Aitihya, Sambhava, and Cheshta. I mentioned about Cheshta in one of the previous classes. And some thinkers admit all the 10 pramanams also. Pratyakshadi, Cheshtam, and Parishesha. So therefore, before our dialogue starts, we should have an agreement with sources of knowledge. What is the source of your knowledge? So we ask the Vaisheshika, what is his pramanam for Paramanu? Pratyaksham is not pramanam because Paramanu is invisible. Shastra is also not Pramana because Shastra does not talk of Paramanu at all as Jagat Karanam. Maximum Shastra talks about Brahman as Jagat Karanam or Maya as Pramanam. Mayam tu Prakritim Vidyat Ityatra. If you say Maya is the Prakriti, Maya is because through Prakriti Karanam, Maya, Jagat Karanam, Ityatra. In that case, Maya Jagat Karanatvena Uchyate. Yatova imani bhutani jayante ityatra, when you say this particular Upanishad Vakyam, that Brahma karanatvena uchyate. Nowhere Shastra talks about Paramanu as a substance at all. Either it talks about Maya or Brahman as the cause of creation. Therefore, you have to go only by Anumana, like the Sankhya's Prakriti or Pradhanam, which heavily is Anumanam based. That is why Sankhya's Prakriti itself is called Anumanam in some sutras. We went through those sutras also. Just as the Sankhya's talk about Pradhanam with Anumana Pramana, so also Nyaya Vaisheshikas, they talk about Paramanu through Anumana Pramana. Incidentally, an aside point also I want to mention, Sankhya also talks about Prakriti, Vedanta also talks about Prakriti, and what is the main difference between them? Vedanta says Prakriti is knowable through Shastra alone, and logic is only a supporting proof. Whereas Sankhya philosopher says Prakriti is proved through Anumanam and Shastra is only a supporting Pramanam. Similarly, Nyaya Vaisheshikas, they also say Paramanu is also inferentially proved through inference, Anumanam. So once something is proved by inference, then it becomes available for what? Inferential attack also. If you say it is inferred, we can attack the assumption based on inference. And what is that? We say, based on experience, all products endowed with form, color, and all those gunas is perishable. Yet, sagunam here, what are the gunas? Shabda, sparsha, rupa, guna sakitam. Tattat anityam, they are impermanent. This is a valid vyapti, generalization, which we can gather from our experience of the world. From this vyapti, we can very easily collect yet rupadivata. Rupadivata, all the gunas. Tat anityam, that is impermanent. There is no exception at all. And once this vyapti is derived, I can make an anumanam regarding your paramanu also. And what is that? Paramanu anityaham rupadimatvate gatavate. And this inference you cannot refute because it is based on a vyapti, a generalization with no exception. Because everything I experience is perishable, endowed with form and other qualities. And suppose you want to say that, let Paramanu be an exception. Because we can always bring some exception. Then to show that you require an evidence also. Where's the evidence? To classify something as an exception, you require a pramanam also. For example, in science, we have got this thing, anomalous expansion of water. When the temperature comes down, things have to shrink generally. But in the case of water, when it comes beyond a particular temperature, 4 degrees or so, instead of contraction, it expands. And it is called anomalous expansion of water. So that exception we talk about based on our experience. But Paramanu is not available for experience. Inference does not support. Shastra does not talk about it at all. Therefore, how will you say Paramanu is Rupa Disagitam Nityancha? It is also permanent. It is also endowed with all these properties. How can you say that? It is impossible. Therefore, logic reveals that Paramanu has a nature which is opposed to your postulate. And what is your postulate? Paramanu is Nityam. But by logical analysis, we find it has to be Anityam only. Therefore, Paramanu's Nityatvam is illogical. That is the essence of this sutra. Now let us do the word analysis. First learning meaning. The sutra is what? Rupadimatvat cha viparyayaha darshanat. Cha means moreover. Viparyayaha. Viparyayaha means atoms have an opposite attribute. Rupadimatvat. Since they have properties like rupam, color and all that. Darshanat. Since it is experienced in that manner. This is just the word meaning. Now let us see the significance of each of these words. Rupadi matvat means what? Because of the presence of rupam, color, adi shabdehe, sound, smell, taste, touch, all those things are all included. That is sabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandhas, all the 5 qualities. Rupadimatvat is actually Panchami, Hetu Panchami. Because of the presence of properties like color and all, then where are these properties? It is not said in the sutra. We have to supply. Because of the presence of these properties in the paramanus. Paramanunam Rupadimatvat. It is not there. And as we said, Prithivi Paramanu has pancha gunas. Five Jala Paramanus have got four gunas. Akchi Agni Paramanus three. Vayu Paramanus two. And Akasha has only one Shabda. We should not say Akasha Paramanu, you should remember. I already mentioned it in the previous class. Therefore, because of the presence of these properties in the Paramanu, then cha means conjunction to join the previous sutra as I told. Then viparyayaha. Viparyayaha means it has an opposite nature. Here means it's reverse. Reverse is opposite. See how the sutras can be so vague. What is the reverse of what? It just says only viparyayaha. It's opposite, reverse. That is why Shankaracharya has to come. He wrote the Bhashya. Here viparyayaha means reverse. Opposite attributes. That is, Paramanu has got opposite attributes. And what is the opposite attribute of Paramanu? Anityatvam, impermanence. It is the opposite attribute of permanence, which is Vaisheshika's claim. That means what? This impermanence, arrived at through logical analysis, is the opposite attribute of Vaisheshika's claimed permanence. They claimed permanence, but it is opposite of that. And why do we say so? Since Paramanu has got color and all the other properties, it is logically impermanent. Then darshanat, that is our experience. This experience refers to the vyapti, the generalization. Since vyapti is always experience based, the literal translation will be what? Vyapti is equal to, they translate in the authors of commentaries, invariable concomitance, invariable coexistence. That's how they translate it. And what is the vyapti that we experience? It is the coexistence of color and impermanence. Coexistence of color and impermanence is the vyapti. And what color, etc., are there? Wherever color, etc., are all there? In general, we say properties and impermanence together. And wherever there are properties, there is impermanence. That is why in Vedanta, the only permanent thing is what? Brahman. And what is its property? Nirgunam, no gunas. Therefore, the coexistence of property and impermanence is darshana, experience in the world, we experience. So if you put it simply, sagunatvate anityam and nirgunatvate nityaha. Now let us go to the next sutra. Ubayatacha doshat, 16th sutra, 187th Brahma Sutra. Let us do the general analysis. In this sutra, Vyasacharya says, Vaisheshikas cannot talk about the uniformity of all the atoms. And what is the uniformity of atoms? He says, Prithivi, Jala, Agni, Vayu, all these paramanus are all fundamental atoms. And therefore, they are all minute. They are partless and they are all uniform. That is his argument, his theory. But Vyasacharya says, this uniformity of atoms cannot be talked about at all. Why? Because although they are all paramanus, the Nyaya Vaisheshika philosopher says they have differences in terms of the number of properties. Prithivi has five gunas, sabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandha. Jala has four, agni three, vayu two. And since number of properties vary, the paramanus cannot be uniform. Their density will vary based on our experience, vyapti, and so they cannot be uniform. When the paramanus form the four elements by combination into dyad, triad, etc., into the visible elements finally, we see the differences in density. Prithivi, earth is the solidest, we can say, tense. Sthula thamam, Jalam is subtler. Agni is still subtler.
They explode at the
And Vayu is still subtler.
Permanent upon nature.
Raja Nadarajan, please turn off your microphone. Vayu is still subtler. Therefore, we see the differences in the bhutas. And then there should be differences in the bhuta paramanus also. This is an inferred difference we cannot see. Therefore, stulam, sukshmam, taratamyam, gradation will be there at the level of paramanu also. But in the Nyaya Vaisheshika system, all paramanus are equally sukshmatamam. That is what they say. They do not accept the gradation. And to avoid this problem, either he should say all the paramanus have equal number of gunas, pancha gunas, and if so, when they become bhutas, visible elements later, they also will have equal pancha gunas. Because according to him, what is the theory? Karana gunaham karye samana jatiyam gunantaram utpadayati. That is his law. Therefore, all the elements will have pancha gunas. And we know it is not correct. Then to avoid this, he may say all the paramanus will have only one guna to establish uniformity. And then also the problem, their products also will have only one guna. Therefore, since in the products we have taratamyam gradation, at the paramanu level also gradation must be accepted. But Nyaya Vaisheshika does not accept it. So there is a dosha. He does not accept because this is defect at the ultimate cause, at the paramanu level. Then he may have to go further cause for that and all that thing. Then it will be even more problems. This is the general analysis. Now we will go to the word analysis. First, as usual, we will see the running meaning. What is the sutra? Ubhayata cha doshat. Cha means moreover. Doshat means since there are defects, doshas. Ubhayata means either way. Either way means the Vaisheshika system is wrong or defective. Either way it is wrong or defective, that we have to supply. Now we will see the word significance. And what are the words? Ubhayata, let us say. Ubhayata means either way. It means whether all the four paramanus, that is Prithvi and all the four paramanus have one guna or more gunas or different gunas. Guna samyeva, guna vaishamyeva. They are all uniform gunas or different. Whether the number of gunas are same or different. Doshat means these are all defects. Again, panchami, ketvate panchami. And we have to complete it by adding what? Paramanu jagat karanavadaha asadhu. It's wrong. It is not sadhu. Now we will go to the final sutra, 17th sutra, Adisadhikarana. Uparigrahacham atyantam anapeksha. 17th sutra, 188th running Brahma Sutra. Let us do the general analysis of this sutra. Here Vyasacharya says, Sankhya philosophy also has its own defects, which we already saw in the first Adhikarana. Rachana Anupapatti Adhikaranam, there we saw. And this is remembered because it is the refutation of our primary rival. We already told about the Prathama Malla Nyaya. It is because of that. He is our primary rival, Sankhya. Therefore, in scholarly circles, Rachana Anupapatti Adhikaranam is considered a very prominent Adhikaranam. Similarly, in the Nyaya Vaisheshika system also, it has got a lot of logical defects, which we established through this Adhikaranam in all these sutras. Paramanu Jagat Akaranatva Adhikaranam. That is the name of this Adhikaranam. Paramanu Jagat Akaranatva Adhikaranam. Now here Vyasacharya says, both the systems have got logical defects, both Sankhya philosophy and also Nyaya Vaisheshika philosophy is also. But even then, the Sankhya Yoga philosophy has at least one plus point because of its slight closeness toward to Vedanta. Because Sankhya Yoga system is closer to Vedanta system. So traditional acharyas, they borrow at least some ideas from Sankhya. Lot of acharyas, they borrow even smritis. They have given some respect to it. And it is used in some of the smritis also. As we said earlier, in the Bhagavata Purana, most of the time, Srishti Prakriya, it comes actually 10-15 times in this Puranam, so many places. And most of the time, the Srishti Prakriya is the Sankhya-based Srishti only. They take Sankhya system extremely, very highly in those instances. Therefore, it is called Shishta Parigraha. And Sankhya Yoga systems, Sankhya and Yoga systems, also in the Bhagavad Gita also, Smriti Grantha, there also Srishti Prakriya is based on the Sankhya Yoga system only. And it is given in two, at least two places which I could get. Bhumira aponalo vayuho khammano buddhi revacha ahankara iti yamme bhinna prakriti rashtadha. Seventh chapter. The ashtadha prakriti is Sankhya based classification only. We can never understand this ashtadha prakriti without understanding Sankhya theory of creation. All this we have discussed during our Bhagavad Gita lectures. And if we read Shankara Bhashyam also, there we'll get even more confused, because he writes the Bhashyam based on Sankhya only, Sankhya theories only. And again in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Mahabhutane Hankaraha Buddhiravyakta Mevacha Indriya Anidasai Kancha Panchachendriya Gocharaha. There, in fact, this is Chaturvimshati Tattvas, 24 Tattvas, is based on Sankhya Darshana only. In fact, even in Tattva Bodha, when Srishti Prakaranam starts, Bhattacharya says, Atha Chaturvimshati Tattvotpatti Prakaram Vakshyamaha. That is why Shankaracharya himself writes in Tattva Bodha. Therefore, Sankhya is at least partially acceptable to Vedantins. And he says, Nyaya Vaiseshika does not have even that partial acceptance. No Acharya has borrowed Paramanu Karana Vada of Nyaya Vaiseshika anywhere in any of the Smriti Granthas. Therefore, Nyaya Vaiseshika system is totally useless for us and has to be negated in toto. This is what various Acharyas say. And where does Vyasacharya say this? In the last sutra of this Adhikaranam, he says, after breaking our head, after saying Dravya, Guna, Karma, Samavaya, all those things, minute atom, SSD, BLT, all those things, we went through all those discussions. After all these sutras in this Adhikaranam, Vyasacharya tells in the last sutra that Nyaya Vaiseshika system is totally unnecessary. So what is the consolation? Even if one did not understand that also, it is absolutely fine. No problem. It is just only an intellectual exercise for sharpening the buddhi. This is the general analysis. Now let us go to the word analysis. Aparigrahat. Because of non-acceptance. This is what's there. But we have to supply by whom? Non-acceptance by whom? By traditional acharyas like Manu and all that thing. So manvadibihi. That is what Acharya says. So traditional acharyas like Manu and all, they have not accepted this. And cha means also. Atyantam anapeksha. Vaisheshika system is totally useless. Rejected. This is the running meaning. Now let us see the significance of the words. Aparigrahat means, parigrahat means borrowing the idea. Aparigrahat means since the ideas of Nyaya Vaiseshika system are not at all borrowed by any other system. And if at all Nyaya Vaiseshika system is studied, it is primarily for their anumanam only. They have evolved the system of anumanam or inference. That is how to infer logically. How to see things logically. And their philosophy is never accepted by us. But this exercise, how to think logically, definitely they have a lot to offer. If at all we study Nyaya Vaisheshika or Tarka Sangraha, it is only for one purpose. That is how to logically think. And they also talk about the logical fallacies also. For example, if you take worry as an example, they do a logical analysis of worry. When you are worrying and when you are thinking, there's a logical analysis. And they have classified the fallacies in our thinking also, called Hetvabhasaha. These are all beautiful studies which Vedanta Shastra totally adopts also. Therefore, it is only the Anumana portion of Tarka Shastra and Hetvabhasa portion of Tarka Shastra that alone is useful. And other than that, their system of philosophy is not useful to us at all. And Shankaracharya in his commentary talks of some of the other logical loopholes also, which are not mentioned by Vyasacharya. But we will see a few of them. Yes, interesting. How much Shankaracharya has gone into so much of details of looking at various things. With the completion of the 17th Sutra, the third Adhikaranam is also over. And through the second and third Adhikaranams, Vyasacharya negated the Nyaya Vaisheshika systems. And while negating the other darshanas, he only looks at those from the angle of what? Srishti only, for creation. Even though we have disagreements with respect to all other topics also, Vyasacharya primarily focuses. He has taken up only one point of disagreement. And what is that? Karya, Karana, Sambandha or creation. That's what he has talked about. He has taken. And the reason is why? We have introduced Brahman itself as Jagat Karanam. The very definition of Brahman with which Brahma Sutra started is what? Janmadhyasya yagataha. The first sutra is Anubandha Sutra. Atato Brahma Jignyasa. It is only an Anubandha Sutra. Whereas the first sutra, the beginning sutra, which talks about Shastra, begins with only the second sutra, Janmadhyasya yagataha, where Brahman is defined as Jagat Karana. And therefore, naturally, we mean world has come out of Brahman, because Jagat Karana. And this, since this is the primary definition, and from this angle only Vyasacharya wants to see other systems of philosophy. And what is the cause of Jagat? This is one reason. And the second reason is, with respect to Jagat Karanam alone, the main difference is there with other philosophies. Therefore, by taking this one topic of Jagat Karanam, Vyasacharya differentiate all other 11 darshanas, 6 Nastika darshanas, and 5 Astika darshanas. He differentiates all these from Vedanta. That is, in one topic, or Jagat Karanam topic alone, all other systems, they differ with respect to Vedanta. And if you take any other aspect, one may find maybe some agreement here and there with some other darshanas. And therefore, the uniqueness of Vedanta cannot be revealed. And the uniqueness is what? Chetana Upadana Karanavada. Chetana Upadana Karanavada. And therefore, in this third Adhikaranam also, Vyasacharya primarily concentrated on the Karana concept of Nyaya Vaisheshika only. And in this last sutra, Vyasacharya, he hints that not only Jagat Karanam, but he bundles various other differences also without going into details of them. And through this sutra, he hinted at another point also. Even though Nyaya Vaisheshika, Sankhya and Vedanta have differences, in what way Nyaya Vaisheshika is different from Sankhya Yoga, if anyone has? Vyasacharya says, the difference between Vedanta and Nyaya Vaisheshika is much more than the difference between Vedanta and Sankhya Yoga systems. Therefore, he uses an adverb Anapeksha, for that he used an adverb. Atyantam anapeksha. Sankhya yoga is anapeksha. Even if one doesn't study that, it is okay. Sankhya yoga yoho anapeksha. Whereas if one doesn't study Nyaya Vaisheshika, it does not matter at all. Nyaya Vaisheshika yoho atyantam anapeksha. That is what atyantam word is used, anapeksha. Therefore, no one need feel guilty if they have not studied or not understood other darshanas. So those few points that one gathers while studying these darshanas as Purvapakshivita Brahma Sutra, that is more than enough for knowing their deficiencies. Even though it may not be required, Shankaracharya points out a few more interesting loopholes in the Nyaya Vaisheshika system. Let us see a few for the sake of academic interest. As I said, the Nyaya Vaisheshika philosopher, he talks of three dimensions. This is called Parimanaha. One is Anu. Anu is atomic size, dimension of an Anu, an atom. And the other one is Vibhu. Vibhu means infinite dimension. So Anu is infinitely small and Vibhu is infinitely large. And these are the two extreme dimensions, they say. And everything is in between Anu and Vibhu. Infinitely small, infinitely big, everything is in between, and they call it as Madhyama Parimanaha. Mind is also in this system, is Anu. All Paramanus, including mind, is Anu. Atma and Akasha, they are examples for Vibhu Parimana, infinite, big. All others, they come under Madhyama Parimana. And they point out, Akasha is one and Atmas are infinite. Akasha is one and Atmas are infinite. Therefore, one all-pervading Akasha and infinite all-pervading Atmas are there. Even though Atmas are many, all of them are all-pervading. And all others are Madhyama, in between. For example, all our bodies, in fact, most of the things we experience in the world, they are all in the Madhyama Parimana. And Nyaya Vaisheshika, he also points out, infinitely small is also eternal. Not only size-wise, it is infinitely small dimension-wise, it is also eternal. Same way, infinitely big is also eternal. So infinitely small is eternal because it cannot be disintegrated further. Similarly, infinitely big Akasha is also eternal because it cannot be assembled together by building blocks. Therefore, it has to be eternal. So Anu is not assembled. Vibhu is also not assembled. Assembled with some building blocks or something. And therefore, both are eternal according to them. And all the Madhyama Parimanas, the in-between ones, they are considered non-eternal. And all the Madhyama Parimanas are formed by the addition of Anu Parimana material. And all are very, very nice to hear. And they describe it as, you know what? Avicharita Ramaniyam. Avicharita Ramaniyam. All are very nice to hear. As long as we don't have to think and do any vichara on all these definitions. Avicharita Ramaniyam. Anu and Vibhu, those two Parimanas are Niravayavaha. Both are partless and eternal. But Madhyama Parimana, that those vastus are formed by building blocks. When they are combined, they are formed. And when they are disintegrated, they are destroyed also. And what Shankaracharya says is, once you accept Niravayava atom. Atom means without the parts. Niravayava atom, mind, Akasha and Atma. Then you cannot talk about combination at all. Because combination requires avayavam, parts. You always combine one part with another part. Therefore, samyoga requires avayavam or part. And when part is not there, then samyoga is not possible. This is proved by experience also. For example, space is niravayava, no parts, and we cannot combine space with anything. Therefore, akashaha samyoha samyoga rahitaha. It is pratyaksha drishtanta it is. And since niravayava akasha does not have samyoga with anything, we say paramanu also, being niravayava, cannot have samyoga with anything. Same way mind also, manas also cannot have samyoga, mind being anuparimana. Atma also cannot have samyoga with anything, niravayavatvat, no parts, not parimanatvat, but niravayavatvat. So all the four, paramanu, mind, atma, and akasha, being niravayava, how can you talk about samyoga for all this atma, akasha, and all? Therefore, the very creation itself is not possible, because creation itself starts with what? Paramanu, dvaya samyoga asambhavaha. It cannot happen. Therefore, dvi anukam diet is not possible. Diet molecule cannot be produced. Therefore, only through diet only triad will be produced. So triad, three anukam is not possible. Therefore, tetrad, pentad, all those things are not possible. In short, the arrival of bhogya prapancha, made up of all these elements, you cannot explain at all. Similarly, according to Nyaya Vaisheshikas, Atma is niravayavam, no parts, infinitely big and partless. Mind is also infinitely small and partless. Both are partless. And unfortunately, both are inert in themselves according to them. So during pralaya, it will be inert. And he says, when Atma and mind combine, consciousness arises. That's what he says. Here also Shankaracharya points out many problems. First of all, Atma is partless but infinitely big. And mind is infinitely small and also partless. How can the samyoga be possible between infinitely big Atma and infinitely small mind without parts each? Because of the same reason, Atma Mana Samyoga is not possible, and therefore consciousness cannot be generated. Because according to them, the consciousness is generated when these two things combine. So we are now proving that the combination itself is illogical. So if consciousness cannot be generated, Bhoktru Jivaha, who has to be conscious, he cannot come. Then consciousness itself cannot be generated. Without consciousness, he cannot be a bhokta. So bhoktru jivaha, who has to be conscious, cannot come. Therefore, in the Nyaya Vaisheshika philosophy, bhoktru jivaha is not possible, because atma, mana, samyoga is not possible. Niravayatvad, without parts. So bhogya prapancha is not possible because of niravayatvad. Paramanu dvaya samyoga is not possible. When these two itself cannot come, then how can samsara, bandha, moksha, all can be explained at all? And incidentally, he also points out another point, Shankaracharya. Talking about atma, mana, samyoga itself is a problem, he says. Why it's a problem? Since atma is all pervading, how can you talk about Atma's combination with mind as an event? Because any two finite things can be separated and they can choose to come together. Two Paramanus can think of coming together. Because Paramanu is a dot here, another Paramanu is a dot there, they can combine. Therefore, any two finite things can choose to come together, combine. How can the all-pervading Atma and the atomic mind, mind is not all-pervading, all right. But even though mind is atomic in size, the all-pervading must all be all the time in contact with the mind. Mind may be atomic, but Atma is all-pervading. It should be all the time in contact with the mind. How can they have contact as an event in time? It should be all the time. That is another problem. Then Shankaracharya says, if Atma comes in contact with the mind and consciousness is generated. And thereafter, pleasure comes, pain comes, all those samsara, everything comes. How many atmas are there? And how many mind dots are there? And when they combine, all atmas will encounter the entire mind. And there'll be a lot of problems. There are so many atmas, so many minds, and all atmas are going to contact. How much of combinations and all, it's going to be a big problem. And Shankaracharya goes on and on and on in trying to analyze many of these things. Of course, we just only took a few sample of that. That's adequate. So in short, what we have to conclude now? Paramanu dvaya samyogaha na sambhavati. Why? Miravayavatva. Two paramanus cannot combine together because they have no parts. Tasmat achetana bahya prapanchaha na sambhavati. Because of that reason, the external world creation cannot come. And then atma manaha samyogaha na sambhavati. Again, niravayavatva. The combination of atma and mind cannot happen because of no parts. Tasmat chetana bhokta na sambhavati. A sentient jiva, bhokta, cannot form. Therefore, you, the Nyaya Vaisheshika, you have got lot of problems. This is problem with respect to samyoga. Then, as we pointed out earlier, the Nyaya Vaisheshika, he says, what are the things he says? Substance, property, action, universal, particular. If you remember, substance is dravyam, property, guna, action, karma, all those things we saw, manyam, visesham, all that thing we saw. And he says, all have inseparable relationship. In the last class we saw, substance and property, we call by the term samavaya, inseparable relationship. So substance, dravyam was number one, property was number two. So inseparable relationship between one and two. And substance and action, dravyam and again inseparable relationship, one and three. And then substance and universal, one and four. Then substance and the particular visesha, one and five. So each one is samavaya sambandha. We went through elaborate discussion of samavaya sambandha in the last class. Inseparable relationship. And he also said, samavaya sambandha is nitya sambandha. It is eternal. This relationship is eternal. And in this list, he adds one more to the list. Shankaracharya adds one more to the list that I omitted there at that time, which is what? Dravya yoho, between two substances also, samavaya sambandha exists. We said substance and other properties only, we said samavaya sambandha exists. Now dravya, one substance, another substance also. He says two substances can have eternal relationship under one condition. For example, if you take this clip or I'm having some objects on hand, any two substances, some clip and pencil, whatever I have here. So this pencil, they have a sambandha. But this sambandha is not inseparable. I can separate the clip from the pencil. That relationship is separable relationship. Therefore, he says, this is only samyoga sambandha, and the condition is that when these two dravyams are related as karana karya, or cause and effect relationship, karana dravya, karya dravya yoho, dravya madhye, samavaya sambandha is there. That is inseparable and eternal, unless they have a karya-karana relationship. For example, the pot and clay, thread and cloth, wood and furniture, gold and ornaments, paramanu and dvianukam and trianukam. All these, so dravya-dravya yoho madhyem samavaya sambandha. This is the fifth one he adds. Acharya adds this. Therefore, substance and property, one and one, one and two, one and three, one and four, and one and five. And now Shankaracharya attacks this also. How can the karya dravyam and karana dravyam can be talked of as two separate substances? How a karya dravyam and a karana dravyam can be talked of two different substances? We know pot and clay are not two different substances. There is no separate substance at all called the pot. other than clay substance. So this is one part. And because of the peculiar theory of Nyaya Vaisheshika, they call clay and pot as separate substances and inseparably together also. And that is Samavaya. So Shankaracharya says, Tushyatu Durjanaha Nyayena Abhipetya Vadena. Let us assume that they are two separate substances for argument's sake. Abhipetya Vadena means for argument's sake. Tushyatu Durjanaha, okay, let me give it to him. For argument's sake also. Then Shankaracharya asks how they can have Nitya Sambandha. Even if you say there is Sambandha, how it can be a Nitya Sambandha, eternal Sambandha, when one of them is not Nityam. You say Karana Dravyam and Karya Dravyam have got Samavaya Sambandha, Nitya Sambandha. Then the Sambandhis should be Nityam. But one of the Sambandhis, the Karya Dravyam, the effect, being Anityam, according to you, yourself, how can there be anitya nitya dravya yoho madhyam nitya sambandha? How it is possible? Therefore, that is also not possible. This is another point. And we'll see one more point wind up. Because more I go, I feel also too many things are going on. So Shankaracharya says, your very division of the categories itself is found to be defective. The sevenfold categories. What are those? Dravya, guna, karma, samanya, visesha, samavaya, abhavaha, all that I said in the last class. The categorization itself is a problem. When you have some category, there must be some similarity. That is number one. You can only put things which are similar in one category. And secondly, Shankaracharya's main argument is, when substances are properties and substances and properties are inseparable, why should you enumerate them as separately? Substance and properties are inseparable. Then why should you enumerate them as separate things? For example, do I say, you please come along with your ears for the lecture? Actually, when Marcus Antonius, he gave the funeral address at Julius Caesar, he said, friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears for a moment. So when you say, come to the class, we say, I will not say, bring your ears also along with you. Therefore, why do you enumerate guna separately when it is inseparable from the substance and eternally related? And then in the list, you have included samavayaha also, which is a form of relationship that is included in this category. And he talks of another type of relationship also, which is samyoga sambandha, a separable relationship, which he does not put in the category of the seven pointed out earlier. He includes samavaya, which is inseparable relationship. Then why can't you include the separate relationship also in the samyoga also in this category? But he calls that as guna, a property. Samyoga as a property. So the very division of the universe itself is full of defects. So samavaya becomes a padartha, a category. Samyoga becomes a guna, a property. When both refer to relationship only, this is the most powerful attack by the Vedantins. So there are so many problems, and therefore, what is the conclusion? Atyantam anapeksha. So dharmartam yasya nitviteham varam tasya nirihatam prakshalanadhi pankasya durat asparshanam varam. I already gave this shloka earlier. This also is Subhashita. After learning, you have to learn to forget the whole thing. Anya vacho vimunchata. In fact, when they write commentaries, anya vacho vimunchata, you please give up all these things. One acharya, in a nice way, he writes, tarka pishachi grastanam vedantaha naiva agachati. Tarka is very attractive, and it is addiction causing also. If one is just carried away by logic, once one gets addicted to tarka, Nyaya and all this logic, there are many people who spend more time either in Tarka or Vyakarana, and they end up giving up Vedanta. And therefore, they say, you be very careful, avoid it, learn the minimum, or you be extremely careful when you learn this, or you will get stuck in that. And then it will become Moksha Sannyasa Yoga. Moksha Sannyasa here is Shashti Tatpurusha, we should be careful, Mokshasya Sannyasa. Who wants that? Who is warning this? Vyasacharya himself is warning that atyantam anapeksha, atyantam, which being not of much useful to you for the study of Vedanta. So with this, the Vaisheshika Mata, nirasa, negation is also over. Then we will see the next text, adhikaranam, in the next class. Yo veda dausvara prakto vedante cha pratishtitaha, tasya prakriti linasya parasa maheshwaraha, purnamada purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate, purnasya purnamadaya purnameva vasishyate, om shanti shanti shanti, shri gurubhyo namaha, harihi om, shri krishna arpanamastu.